Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Ian Brown is there. Sean. Pete Abe.
Congrats, Joe.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your text and all your support.
Everybody, we'll give it just one more minute before we get started.
And you believe it.
Recording in progress.
Okay, got it.
All right, we are set to begin. So I'll say hello, everyone, and welcome to the National Baseball Hall of Fame's conference call with Joe Castiglione. My name is John Shestakovsky. I'm Vice President of Communications and Content at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. And as you know, moments ago, it was announced by the Hall of Fame that Joe Castiglione was selected as the 2024 Ford C. Frick Award winner for baseball broadcasting excellence. On behalf of all of us at the Hall of Fame, we congratulate Joe and thank him for joining us on this call. And Joe will formally be honored in Cooperstown at Hall of Fame Weekend's awards presentation on Saturday, July 20th, 2024, along with Jerry Fraley, the 2024 BBWAA Career Excellence Award winner for baseball writing. Please note that this session is being recorded, and a video recording and transcript of this call will be available within the next 24 to 48 hours at the Hall of Fame's website, baseballhall.org. And now, before we open for questions, I'll turn it over to Joe to make an opening statement. Joe, go right ahead.
Well, Shesta, thank you so much. It's so great to have a former Red Sox brother call me with the announcement along with Josh Rawich. And it was really a can you believe it moment. You know, you never dream of these things when you're starting. I mean, my first goal was to do Major League Baseball. My second was to do a World Series and to win a World Series. But this is nothing that was on the radar ever. And it's just such a thrill to be honored by my peers, and especially with the Cooperstown connection, because I spent so much time there. I mean, I went to college 50 miles away, and we always combine trips back to the alma mater at Colgate with a visit to the Hall of Fame, and to have my name there in that broadcaster section overlooking that great window with the statues of Johnny Padres and Roy Campanella outside. It's just amazing. To share one quick story, most of you know that I'm a technical klutz. And when Shesta and Josh called me this morning on my cell phone, I went to hit speaker. Instead, I hit the red button and disconnected. So that was about 2 minutes of great suspense for me before we got it going.
But we got it going, Joe, and we do congratulate you. And We will now open up for questions from call participants. So if you'd like to ask a question of Joe, please click reactions at the bottom of your screen, then click the raise hand button. And Pete has raised his hand. Pete, go right ahead.
Hey, Joe, congratulations. I'm here in Nashville with Sean McAdam. You had been up for this award several times. Can you kind of tell us, you know, how emotional it was for you when you finally got the call?
Well, it was more stunning, really, than anything. All of a sudden, it was 11:21. I knew the call would come between 10:30 and 11:30. And it was nervous time. And it was just incredible. And, Jan was here with me. His son, Duke, was here to Channel 5 anchor to record the call if it came through. And then when it did, of course, as I said, I messed it up the first time, but we got it back about 2 minutes later. But absolutely stunned, I think, is the word when that finally came through. And, you know, maybe having been on the ballot three times before had something to do with that, but still, it's great and certainly worth the wait.
Joe, you know so many of the people who have won this award. What does it mean to you to be, you know, part of that brotherhood and on that list?
Well, it really is incredible. I mean, my first hero was Mal Allen, and he was, along with Red Barber, the first two recipients. And then to see the likes of a great mentor and Ernie Harwell, Chuck Thompson of the Orioles, and, of course, more modern award winners, Marty Brenneman, Cincinnati, Pat Hughes of the Cubs, and my great friend Eric Nadell. I've already heard from some of the other finalists with their congratulations, which is very certainly welcome and heartwarming. And I think it's just wonderful. I guess Kurt Gowdy's in. I think Ken Coleman and Ned Martin deserve to be in someday when they go back to the previous era. And it's just so meaningful to be in with some of the greats. Not that I put myself in that category, but it just is a tremendous honor.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Pete. Thank you for your support.
Next question, Ian Brown. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, Joe. Just you got there in 1983, which seems like a million years ago. Could you have ever imagined you'd be here, you know, 41 years later, calling four championships and all the other stuff that you've called for the Red Sox?
No, I had a one-year agreement, not even a contract, late in the season. So I was not counting on being there over 40 years later. I just wanted to get through to the next season. And, of course, the first year was great. It was Yaz's last year. I'm so glad I had a chance to be with him, especially for that final weekend, which was amazing. But, no, I never thought this would culminate in this great award, which is so prestigious and such an honor. But there have been a lot of 6,000-some games, I guess, over the years. I don't know, my son has a count of the playoff games. I think it's 115 or something, and four rings. After 86, you thought you'd get right back to the World Series the next year because it was such a strong team. It took 18 years to get back and to finally win it. One of the great thrills along with this.
You know, you seem to still have the same enthusiasm for the job as when you first came here. You know, how have you been able to kind of maintain that?
Well, I love the game. I love the people in the game and the stories, the scouts, the managers, the coaches, and the players. I've already heard from a couple of players almost instantly, and Mikey Lowell and the Jackie Bradley Jr. and was Roger Clemens. It's just been my phone blowing up, but it's really been amazing to be part of that. And I think more than anything, it's the love of the people in the game and connecting with the great fans of Red Sox Nation. I mean, it's still a radio game, and these fans are so loyal. I think that's a big part of it. But the people and the associations you make and the friendships, I think, are really what sustains you.
Next question, Max Cerullo. Mac, you can go ahead.
Hey, Joe, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Mac. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, so it's like you said, you've had a chance to cover four World Series, no hitters, the 20 strikeout game. You know, looking back, Is there any in particular that stand out, and maybe not even one of the things I just mentioned, that is a highlight or a memory that you look back at particularly fondly?
Swinging a ground ball, stabbed by Folk. He has it. He underhands the first, and the Red Sox are the world champions. Can you believe it? And there were many moments that were not, that you didn't mention, like Morgan Magic was one of the greatest periods, winning 12 in a row, 19 out of 20. A couple of walk-offs, one by Kevin Romine, one by Todd Benzinger. And Joe's still a very close friend of mine. In fact, we're having lunch tomorrow together. And I think all of those great moments were, other than winning the World Series, the most magical times. And, of course, some of the work with the Jimmy Fund, with patience. And, you know, you think of things like Daniel Nava's home run. We kiddingly told him on the pregame show, hit the first pitch out, kid, because you only get one chance. And he hit the grand slam on the very first pitch of his career. Little moments like that, big moments. And I think another great thing is that I've had in my career, the opportunity to have my family share in this with my kids, going to Fenway Park with me, sitting in the booth, working concessions and security and that type of thing. And now my grandchildren have had the same opportunities. They want me to go forever because they love the perks.
Next question, Bill Ballew. Bill, hold on. Let's see if we can unmute you.
Hi, Bill.
We got you.
I'm worse technology than Joe is, so. So I can ask?
Go right ahead, yeah.
So, Joe, what was this morning like, knowing the call was going to come? Or you're going to find out one way or the other? Did you have the usual breakfast? Or did you sleep well?
No, I didn't sleep too well. And then we had a refrigerator delivered this morning, so it was a little bit of hectic time. Fortunately, that was early, though, at 8:30. But I rode the exercise bike, and I did my stretching and then sat here and looked at the phone.
You had scheduled refrigerator delivery on this day?
Yes. Well, they said between 8 and 11. Fortunately, they came early.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, thanks. That's all I have.
We have time for a few more questions. So if you would like to ask a question, please hit the raise hand button on your screen. And next up, we'll go to Robert Grayson. Go right ahead, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Congratulations. You mentioned some of the greats that you heard, Mel Allen, Red Barber. Could you talk a little bit about your developing a style when you went on the air? I mean, did it take you a little while to do that? Put things in, take things out, that kind of thing?
I think it happens naturally, Robert. It may be by osmosis. We always copy somebody. To me, the greatest broadcasters, the toughest job anyway, was to be the first and not have anyone to model themselves after. Fortunately, I had some great mentors, Mel Allen, I watched and listened to as a kid for so many years. Ken Coleman, my mentor who brought me to Boston. Ernie Harwell, a guy that was a very close friend that we always relied on for advice. Bill O'Donnell, who was a mentor to me, longtime Oriole broadcaster. And I think you take things from different individuals, but I think your style develops naturally. And if I had to describe my style, well, I think it's one more of passion. I had a partner, Bob Starr, who was also a great influence on me. He had a saying, it's not my life and it's not my wife, because he saw how emotional I was with each Red Sox win or loss. And I think I never lost that, but I think that is added to my style, because people tell me they can tell if the Red Sox are winning and losing by the tone of my voice. That would certainly be a criticism if you were a network broadcaster. But I think most people in Red Sox Nation are rooting for the Red Sox to win. So it passes the test.
And one other thing I just wondered, you talked about getting the rings. Was there ever a thought that maybe it wouldn't happen?
Oh, yes. After 18 years, from 86. I thought, as I said, it would happen a year or two later. Had to wait 18 years to get back there. 03, you know, the Red Sox had the lead in Game 7 against the Yankees, and we know what Aaron Boone did. He was a good friend, by the way. And, you know, he's, I didn't think it would happen, especially down 3-0 to the Yankees in the ALCS in 04. I mean, I had no idea the Red Sox could rally to win it with the greatest comeback of all time. So, and then to happen four times in a 15-year period, it's just amazing. The Red Sox still the only franchise with four in this century.
Thank you.
And if there are no further questions, then we will say once again, congratulations, Joe. So happy for you, and really appreciate you joining us on this special day as the selection as the 2024 Ford C. Frick Award winner for baseball broadcasting excellence. And we look forward to celebrating your career and your legacy during Hall of Fame weekend this July.
Well, thank you so much, Shasta. And, you know, the Hall of Fame's always had a special place in my heart. One of my first entrees to baseball was the great public relations director of the Hall of Fame. At the time, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the late Bill Guilfoyle, who introduced me to Major League Baseball as a reporter. And Jeff Idelson, of course, who was our intern and the longtime president in Cooperstown. We've got so many connections. And to be there will be even a greater thrill because of the wonderful relationships we've had. And thanks to all of the media for your support. And thank you for joining us.
I'll see you soon, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Congrats, Joe.
Congrats, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.